You're listening to a special edition of the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Hey, gentlemen. I want to break convention today on the podcast and take a liberty as the host. I recently was asked to speak at the Southern Baptist Conference of Associational Leaders at our SBC National Convention in Anaheim, California, and I wanted to present that presentation to you today. So again, I'm sorry for breaking from convention, but I was asked multiple times after the presentation if I would make this available. So I felt this might be a proper way for me to encourage you as well as reaffirm my commitment to AMSs across the nation. I really do believe, and you'll hear this in the message today, I really do believe that you are the single most important denominational role in the SBC. And so with that, thank you. God bless you, and I pray that you would enjoy the presentation today.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Thank you, Ray. Hey, guys, it's just my privilege to be here today. Ray, thank you for inviting me to come. It is such a privilege to stand in this room with you guys. I know so many of you, a high percentage of the people in this room I know from over the years. And so those that know me would know that I served for almost a decade as a director of missions in California. And I often reflect back at that time as probably one of the most fruitful times in ministry in my life. There's something amazing and powerful about being able to work with your local pastor relationally, get him through those hurdles, get him through those difficulties, be that source of relational and emotional support for him. There's no greater honor to be in that position with your pastors. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless just my few 20 minutes or so of just sharing my heart with you about our mindsets and how we need to approach in the power of the Spirit the ministry that God has laid before us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to share and to receive and to grow together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I ask that we could find one thing today, whether it be through Ben Mandrell's message, Jeff Orge through later on, or through the words that I'm about to speak, that we could grab onto one transformational truth that might make a difference that we need in our association, in our ministry. We give all of this time, this SBCAL time, we give it all to you for your glory and to edify and to ourselves, but to glorify you ultimately. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I love the idea of mindset. And I want to read a scripture because it really encapsulates the mindset that we need to have as leaders. It says in Colossians 3, we all know it, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that you are serving. So with everything that's going on in the world today and everything that's going on even here within the SBC and within our own lives and especially in our culture, I really felt like I just wanted to share my thoughts with you about our mindset. What is your mindset? As you approach the things in life, how are you, what are you filtering them through? Now, look, the first and foremost mindset that we're all to have is the mind of Christ, right? And we do a really good job because that mindset is what you filter everything through. You process it through. So every relationship that you have, every encounter that you have on a day-to-day basis with someone you've just met through the first time, you're filtering it through your mindset of being a Christian. That's your primary mindset. So you're asking the pertinent questions. How can I share Christ in these 30 seconds? How can I share Christ in this next 3 weeks or this next month as I have this person in my realm of influence? How can I share Christ? That's our primary mindset, and it should be. If Christ is not your primary mindset, if that's not your worldview, then you're probably in the wrong room. Just saying. What's your primary mindset? It's Jesus Christ. But what's your secondary mindset? I don't think enough of us spend enough time thinking about what is our secondary mindset. What are we known for? What do people that see us, I'm going to end up tripping over something here. What do people that see us identify as the mindset that we engage with them through What is it that defines us in our actions, in our words? What can they point to us and say, that's his secondary mindset? Hey, listen. A secondary mindset can be very, very positive and rest in support of your primary mindset, right? Your secondary mindset should give glory to your primary mindset, which is the mindset of Christ. It should propel it. It should undergird it. It should strengthen it. But in far too many cases, our secondary mindset is detrimental to the first. How many people do you know that have an inferiority mindset? Or a mindset of fear? Or a mindset of victimization? And you guys, the people that are trapped in that horrible place of having a secondary mindset that's detrimental to them, they can't see the world outside of that secondary mindset, even though their primary mindset might be one of Christ. A negative secondary mindset will actually diminish your primary mindset. So I want to encourage you, define what your secondary mindset is, and then your tertiary mindset, and so on, because they will propel your primary mindset. I'll give you an example, and those of you that know me, you could probably say, my secondary mindset is one of leadership. I love building leaders. I love building team. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's what excites me. That's what thrills me, is to build leaders and to build team. So just as I live my life on a daily basis, running everything through the mindset of Christ, how can I share Christ? How can I bring the gospel in this situation? I also put everything through my secondary mindset of leadership. How can I make this person a better leader? How can I work with them and grow them in their leadership capacity, in their leadership capability? This has resonated throughout my life. In fact, I want to give you a funny story. I've got hundreds of them, but the one that's most endeared to me, it comes when my daughter was in middle school or early high school. I don't remember exactly what age she was. But I want to illustrate to you how my mindset, my secondary mindset, I identified it early. It always has been about building leadership. And so that was imparted to my kids. And so I think they would say, if they were here today, that they recognize that all through their upbringing, and they are thankful for that. But I remember this one instance where, now you got to understand, my son is very athletic. He's a runner. He's a distance runner. And that takes a special discipline. Those long distance runners, they're really something. My daughter's the creative. She's the emotional, the creative, and she's very creative. She's a graphic artist, and she's really really good at being creative, and she's very emotionally centered and very feeling. Well, so consequently, she being more creative, she wasn't as much into the athleticism that my son was. And so I thought in her late middle school years, I said, you know what, I'm going to see if I can get her out there running, because I knew I needed to stay in shape as well. So I said, hey, baby, why don't you start running with Dad? We'll go out and we'll jog around the block and whatever. And so she said, okay, Daddy, that's a great idea. So we get out there, and it didn't take me, but we started running, and she got about 12 and a half feet, and she realized that she didn't like running too much. Amen. But amen. I got several amens. Well, hey, so she ran about 12 and a half feet. She decided she didn't like running, so she starts walking, and I said, wait a minute, baby, I thought we were going to run. She goes, yeah, I know. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. Let's run one block, and then we'll walk one block, and we can talk, and we can, you know, do whatever in that block, and then we'll run another block, and then we'll talk another block. And she, oh, good, I like that, Daddy. So we start running the one block, and it took me about two blocks, folks, to realize that she was cutting the corners, right? So you got to picture it. Every block has a street on both sides, right? So she would walk the street, walk the block, walk the street, and then run the block, right? So she was shaving the corners off. So again, everything in my life, and I mean this sincerely, I run through this mindset of leadership. So I said to her, I said, baby, you know, and those of you that know me know also that I had a couple businesses. I was always bivocational in the early days, running my own companies. And so I said, baby, you know, Daddy has his own business. Yeah, Daddy, I know, obviously, duh. I said, well, you know, what would you think if Daddy had an employee that punched in at 8:05 every morning and punched out at 4:45, She said, he wouldn't be a good employee. I said, you're right, he wouldn't be a very good employee. I said, but baby, what if I had an employee that when I checked this time card, they punched in at 7:45 every morning and they punched out at 5:15, maybe sometimes at 5:30, maybe sometimes even 6:00. Oh, daddy, that would be a really good employee. I said, you're right, it would be a great employee. I said, baby, I noticed that you've been punching in late and punching out early. What do you mean, daddy? Don't think I didn't get it. You're walking the street, walking the block, walking the street, and then running the block. I said, what do you say if we punch in early at this next corner and we punch out late? She goes, okay, daddy, I can do that. Here I am glowing, thinking, I'm imparting this great leadership lesson to my daughter. And so we're coming up to the street and I'm waiting to see if she got it, right? And whether she was gonna run across the street, and sure enough, she took off. She starts running across the street, hits the block on the other side, starts running across the block, and I'm keeping up with her, and I'm excited because she's learned the leadership lesson that's gonna serve her well in life. And about halfway through the block, she stops and she starts walking. And I'm like, baby, what are you doing? We made an agreement. You were gonna run the street, run the block, and run the street. She goes, daddy, even your best employees get a lunch break, she said. Even in her young mind, she had the wisdom, but she got it. You hear what I'm saying? My secondary worldview, my secondary mindset was imparted into my daughter, and she could think it through, even to the point where she would throw it back at me. Now look, we're living in a hostile culture. A lot of people have mindsets that are different than ours. But what troubles me today is to see the mindset of criticism, or the mindset of just assumption that is made among so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, rather than giving the benefit of the doubt to, like Ben Mandrell said, we're connected at the roots, one with another. And I've always tried to live my life with a mindset that says, hey, I'm a best case scenario guy. If I hear something about a brother or sister, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I trust first until trust is proven not worthy. I don't distrust until trust is built. That's just me. I think we can be a lot better as a family and propel the kingdom of God forward if we gave the benefit of the doubt to each other. What is your secondary mindset? Is it one of skepticism? Are you the constant skeptic? Are you the constant encourager? Maybe you have a mindset of encouragement as your secondary. What is it? Define it. Begin to build it. Like your primary mindset, we talked about the mindset of Christ, right? You dedicate your life to it. You study the scripture. You practice your calling on a day-to-day basis. You're constantly honing your primary mindset. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Find out what your secondary mindset is. If it's a negative mindset, get rid of it. Replace it with something else. And then begin to hone that so it can undergird your primary mindset. And exaggerate your primary mindset. And then even go on to say, hey, what's your tertiary mindset? What's that third thing that you process everything through? Now I get to speak about my own journey in the last 2 or 3 years. Leadership has always been my secondary mindset. But about 3 years ago, I really started realizing that leadership development and these things are not enough by themselves. I think the church does a great job at teaching the Word of God. But there's a gap there, and I've been trying to exercise it in a conscious way, that my tertiary mindset really needs to be one of empowerment. I think we teach the gospel really well, but we don't disciple really well in the church. I have a mindset of leadership that I'm constantly looking how I can build leaders in my life, but I very frequently fall short of empowering them to be great leaders. Asking myself, I might ask myself in my secondary mindset, I may ask, how can I help this person be a better leader? But asking the question, how can I help them be a better leader, is a different question than how can I empower them to be a better leader? As an AMS, think about this. You have the opportunity to empower your pastors to be the best that they have ever been in ministry. And it may mean that you need to go out of your way to empower them, to send them somewhere, to help them in some way, to give them something, to connect them with another pastor in town, to do something to empower them to be a better pastor. I promise you, if you'd pray about that, if you'd pray regularly over each of your pastors, God will show you those connections that allow you to empower them to be the best leaders that they can be. As Ray just said a few minutes ago, all boats rise, and he was talking about finances, but when you start building the leaders within your association, finances will take care of themselves. The gospel will go forth in your geography because you've defined a mindset that you can hone and that you can work on and that you can drive in your association and become known for driving that mindset among your pastors. That's really all I wanted to say. I do want to say one other thing, and it's a word of appreciation for each of you that's here. But I do want you to leave this short time with me and say, okay, what is my secondary mindset? Obviously, Christ is our first. What's my secondary? And am I spending time honing that and making it better, equipping myself to be more proficient in that area? If it's a negative mindset, get rid of it. Get rid of it now. Get rid of it before you leave that door. But if it's a positive one, what can you do to accentuate it? Now, let me say what I really want to say to you. I shared with you, I was a director of missions for a long time, and that was one of the most fulfilling times of ministry in my life. But here's what I want to say to you, and you've heard me say it if you know me personally, because I say it all the time. I thank God for where He has positioned you. And if you haven't really grasped this fact, and I mean this sincerely, and we've heard others say this in sermons and stuff like that, but it's not a trite saying. When God saw your geography and He needed His representative in that geography for His purpose to be done in that geography, He called your name. He called your name. If that doesn't fill you with a sense of awe, somebody, ask the person next to you to check your pulse, because there's something wrong. God called you by name. And to be a leader of leaders in God's church among His bride is no insignificant task. Amen. He has called you to your position because you are an influencer and you have the gifts and call that God requires to reach your area. I heard a preacher recently. This may cost me a couple extra minutes on my presentation, but it's worth it. I just heard a preacher talking about how God calls us where we are for what we need to do in the moment. And too many of us are worried about becoming this before He can use us. How many of us have seen young preachers take the pulpit and their whole personality changes? When God called that young preacher to where He called him, He didn't call that fake persona. He called him where he was with the intellect he has, with the gifts and talents that he has for that place, at that time, at that moment, to do His purpose. Nobody in the SBC can have the relationship with the local pastor that you can. And hear me, nobody at NAM can have the relationship with your pastors that you have. Nobody at IMB, nobody at ERLC, nobody at Lifeway, nobody at the state convention. Nobody can have the relationship with the local pastor that you can have. So start building those relationships, folks, because you have the single most, and I believe this with my heart, I'm not just saying it because I'm in a room with a bunch of AMSs. You have the single most important denominational role in the SBC. Because no one can transform the life of the local pastor like you can. So get your primary mindset right. Seek the Lord with all your strength, all your mind, all your soul, all your power, all your wisdom. Add any other thing you want in there. Just seek Him hard. And then define your secondary mindset. Begin to hone that and let that support your primary. And use it all for the glory of God. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, God. Thank you. You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.